to the final score with the score. Chelsea 1, Bournemouth 0. A win in the Premier League for Chelsea. Jadon Sancho getting an assist on his debut off the bench for Christopher Nkunku to score after 86 minutes. You know, not the best, like, overall performance, but a clean sheet, thanks to Robert Sanchez, and saving a penalty, and saving a lot of other chances. And, you know, got the goal and won the game and 3 points. And that's what matters. Yeah, Chelsea have got that win. It's another win for Enzo Maresca, and it's a Premier League goal for Christopher Nkunku. His first Premier League goal of the season. And yeah, we've got the win. And that's a big positive. Winning when you're not playing well, I think, is a good quality to have. And we've won that. We've done that today. Bournemouth were the best side for a lot of the game, had a lot of chances. They missed a penalty as well. They were a much better side, but we've got the points. So yeah, the starting lineup, that was interesting because Sancho was not on it. The original starting lineup was Sanchez, Cucurella, Colwill, Fofana, Dzazi, Vega, Caicedo, Neto, Palmer, Madueke, and Jackson. So no Enzo Fernandez, Dzazi at right back, it looked like. So with Vega in midfield, which is where he can play. He played a whole season in midfield. So that was the starting lineup, and Enzo Fernandez is not involved at all, in fact. Sorry, I forgot to say that. but that was the starting lineup, and we didn't play very well in the first half. It wasn't a great performance. And of course they had that penalty, as well, which was saved obviously by Sanchez. But yeah, we had a few chances, but we only had 3 shots on target in the whole game. Which is an interesting stat to have. Bournemouth, on the other hand, had 7 shots on target in the game and 19 shots overall, and 8 shots off target. So they had a lot of shots. They only had 33% possession. Chelsea dominated the game in terms of possession, but Bournemouth had most of the shots. So yeah, and then second half, you know, obviously some changes, substitutions. We had the Adebayo come on for Dzazi after 61 minutes. We had Felix come on for Nani Madueke. We had Nkunku on for Jackson. And Sancho came on for Pedro Neto at half time. And Sancho obviously made the difference. He looked a bright spark. He looked different. He made a difference. And obviously had the assist for the goal, which was a really good through ball to break down a low block. We know Jadon Sancho can break down low blocks. It was a great finish by Nkunku. Not much time left, which is a good, it's always the best. It's a good time to score right at the end. And, Anthony Taylor showed up, of course, and gave I think the most amount of yellow cards in a Premier League game. Some of them completely unnecessary, as per usual. Did his best to stop us winning. But we won. And that's a good thing. It's a win for Chelsea. When we're not playing well, it actually tells you a lot about the character of a team, to be honest. So I'm okay with, I don't mind not playing well as long as you win. And especially keeping a clean sheet as well. So, and fair play to Robert Sanchez. He had a good game today. Saved a penalty. And saved a lot of good chances for Bournemouth as well. So yeah, a win's a win. And I think that's important to note. So we're going to talk about that today and we want to hear your views. So Redford, you're here. Welcome. And your initial thoughts on the game.
Well, yeah, welcome everybody. I definitely say that the key word for today is frustrating. We gave away too many opportunities, and for large periods of the game, I do believe that Bournemouth were the dominant side and they deserve definitely to get something from this game. But exactly what you said, Sanchez, he surprised me today after a lot of performances where he disappointed me, and sometimes he hasn't exactly been the goalkeeper we want him to be. He made a lot of big stops, and we're obviously going to go over everyone, but another key point is I would say is that despite me being frustrated with a few of his touches, Sancho really seemed to be a different player today. And if he can carry on doing that and getting the vital pass that he did, then that's exactly what we're going to need, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, fair play. I've criticised Robert Sanchez as well a lot, and but he showed his, he showed a bit of himself today. Made some really important saves, kept us in the game, and yeah, that's. I mean, I've always said like you've got to, you can't play well every week, right? And Chelsea don't have a good record in international after the first game after international breaks either. Just generally, this is not a Maresca thing. That's happened under a lot of managers where we come back from internationals and just not been great. And we weren't great today. But we got that win. And like you say, Jadon Sancho, I was a big advocate of that signing. I thought the talent was there and he showed it today. He made a difference and he's always been good against low blocks. And it was, you know, we were kind of playing a bit against the low block today because Bournemouth didn't have much possession. Today, we had the majority of possession, so they were kind of playing that way today, and you know, we got that moment of magic from Jadon Sancho, that ball in behind. It was a great ball. Let's put it that way. Great through ball from Jadon Sancho, straight to Nkunku, and Nkunku put it away. That is, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, it doesn't matter how you play if you can't take your chances. We know about that. The amount of times we've dominated games and not got the result, but today it was the opposite. We didn't dominate the game, but we got the result. You've got to be able to do that.
In terms of positioning, though, I was a little bit confused near the latter stages of the game because it seems like Cucurella was almost playing like a second striker. And you know what? He was definitely going to be in the newspapers for all the things he did today. He should have been sent off. He had a decent shooting opportunity as well. And yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. 100%. So we've got Ramble up here as well. Welcome, Ramble. What were your thoughts on the game?
Evening, guys. Hope you're all doing well. Yeah, it was an ugly win, which is always pleasing. You know, it shows a sign of your mentality. If you win a game and you're not playing well. I think Sancho and Sanchez were the two best players. And I think what we saw today is we've got the attacking strength and depth to win any game.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, you know, I mean, our attacking, when you've got Christopher Nkunku and great Jadon Sancho coming off the bench, you know, that's pretty good. It's difficult for other sides to live with that, you know. And they were pretty fresh as well. Jadon Sancho hadn't been away with internationals. And he looked really, really fresh and, you know, yeah, looked dangerous immediately. So, yeah. Yeah.
One thing I would say, I think this game has illustrated to me, we desperately need to sign two or three experienced players. Because I think what this team lacks is experience. You know, we've got a lot of young players and even our slightly older players, they still lack that experience for me. I would like to see an experienced defender, midfielder, and a striker come in.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of us have been saying this for ages. That, you know, we need some proven, established talent. You know, at the back and up front as well. To you know, just offer a bit of experience, a bit of leadership, proven quality. You know, because that can help a team. You know, and we didn't have that today. I hate to say it, but Manchester United kind of did earlier today. I mean, De Ligt, like he's young, but he's a proven player. He's a leader. He's got experience at elite level, right? He organises the box. Like, all of that. We don't have those kind of players. And yeah, absolutely. And we need those kind of players.
Sometimes it just an experienced head just helps set off a game down. I think we've shown several times over the last year, you know, we can lose our heads in games. We start getting needless yellow cards. And sometimes you just need that older head to just calm everyone down. And plus, I think you need someone who the younger players can learn from.
Absolutely. I'm 100% agree. Yeah, I mean, that's just, you're speaking to the choir, you know. That's been what I've been saying for a year. We don't need to buy, like, you only need like three or four of them. Well, you don't need loads of them. You can have the most of the squad still be young players. be just with that spine of experienced players, you know, just to help the other players when, you know, when they're not performing, that those proven players are going to turn up and get you results. You know, that's how you build top sides. It's like, this is just a known thing. But Benedict Bali thinks that that's not true, and that you don't have to do that, even though every top side ever has done that. So I've just got some stats from Robert Sanchez's game, actually. 90 minutes played, 7 saves, 5 saves from inside the box, 1 penalty save, 1 high claim, 1 punch, 62 touches, 74% pass accuracy, and 1 clearance. What did you think of his performance today, Red?
Yeah, I definitely say it is his, I'd say for me personally, his best game in a Chelsea shirt. He showed heart. I showed leadership from the back as well. I've seen a lot of the times he seems to be a little bit quiet, but, you know, he's still settling in to the side. But the one thing that has really irritated me, to be honest, is Jadon Sancho came on and he got the assist, which changed the game. But I don't see why Jadon Sancho's got player of the match and not Sanchez, because granted, he gave away the penalty, but he only did that because he was almost shafted by the back pass.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've seen the penalty a couple of times, and yeah, I mean, it was a mess up all round. Basically, it was completely avoidable as well. I'll be honest, that penalty. But so yeah, it wasn't Sanders' fault really. That, and yeah, I was actually surprised myself we didn't get married in that.
I think attacking players are always favoured in the eyes of people judging.
Yeah.
You know, if you scored a goal or assisted a goal.
I mean, he did always... well. I mean, Jadon Sancho was great today. I mean, like, he's going to be starting. I told people when we signed him that he'd be starting for us sooner rather than later. You know, I think he will be. But yeah, without Robert Sanchez keeping the clean sheet, we don't win the game. You know, so yeah. But you're right, Rambles. Yeah, go ahead. What were your thoughts on Robert Sanchez?
Likewise, I thought it was his best performance in a Chelsea shirt. He looked comfortable coming for crosses as well. And maybe, just maybe, this could be like a bit of a turning point that he can build the confidence and he can go on and have a decent season. Because what we have seen before, you know, even at his time at Brighton, when he's on it, he is actually a very competent keeper. But I think he's just hasn't gone well from so far. So hopefully this can be the moment where he turns his Chelsea career around and he can establish that number one spot. We've seen when he's at the top of his game how good he can be, but
yeah, that's the problem though, isn't it? He's not consistent enough at that level, is he?
No,
he often gives the impression that he's got potential to be a top keeper, which is probably why people have taken a chance on him, probably why we took a chance on him. But yeah, I know what you mean. We've never seen that consistently. Right.
And then he often has brain farts and he just does stupid things. He'll pass it to an opposition player or kick it out of play when there's an easy pass on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But he earned his money today. I mean,
So apart from that then, guys, I want to really hear from both of you. Who would you say is a player that surprised you the most today starting? Rambles, what do you think first?
Surprised the most?
I would say probably Sancho. I was always confident about the Sancho signing, but he looked so good in his very first game. And I would say now he's probably cemented his place in the team for the next game. Sometimes you think a player might need a few games to get up to speed, but he just came on straight away and he just looked hungry to make an impression.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that he was excellent. I mean, I've got some stats for Jadon Sancho as well. 45 minutes played, 1 assist, 2 out of 4 dribbles completed, 37 touches, 92% pass accuracy, 2 key passes, 1 out of long balls completed, 1 big chance created, 2 out of 4 ground duels won. So he had a good debut, Jadon Sancho. And I've always felt with him that it's always been about the right environment. Just being in the right environment will be a key to unlocking him. And I think, you know, judging from what we've seen so far, he might be in the right environment. So, yeah. But, for me, I mean, like, Robert Sanchez was a surprise, honestly. I mean, I don't rate him, but I don't think he's Chelsea number one quality. on a like long term. And I mean, he put in a really good performance today, like really good. And then saving the penalty, it's a pretty good penalty save. It wasn't the best penalty. You know, he put it in a position where he could make a save, but you still got to save it. So any penalty save is a good, you know, it's a good penalty save. So, and ultimately that got us the 3 points, you know, along with obviously the goal. But Sanchez kind of surprised me a little bit today. Vega, I've always been impressed with. I think he played well today. 69 touches, 89% pass accuracy, 2 out of 3 long balls completed, 3 out of 3 dribbles completed, 6 out of 8 ground duels won, 3 tackles, 1 blocked shot. Like, I've actually been an advocate of this guy since we signed him. I thought it was a really shrewd signing because he can play defensive midfield and play left back. And, you know, he played a whole season at the defensive midfield for his previous club. And I thought he was great, actually. He didn't surprise me, but certainly, like, I think it's a really positive to have someone like him around. He's going to be a popular player.
I really like Cole. The more I see Cole, the more I think he's growing into like a leader. He's vocal, yeah. You know, he celebrates when he makes tackles. I really, you know, he's really developing personality-wise on the pitch.
Absolutely. Yeah, he definitely has leadership qualities. There's no doubt about that. He's still, what, 21? Is that what he is? 21, 22?
I think he is, yeah, 21 still, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's still very, very young. You know, I mean, people forget that. Actually, there was somebody posting this video of John Terry making a mistake. And it was going on viral, I think. And it was John Terry when he was 21. He wasn't the finished article at 21. He wasn't what he became later. He had all the same, he had the potential. He just hasn't reached it yet. And I think, like, this Levi Colwill is still that age. He's going to get a lot better. Within 2 or 3 years, he's going to be on another level, I think, as a centre-back. And he's definitely got those leadership qualities. And Enzo Maresca has mentioned them as well, and that he wants to add into the leadership group at some point. And he's captain Chelsea already. So, yeah, absolutely, Levi Colwill. I think he's pretty well ensconced now as the left centre-back in the first choice 11. You know, he will make mistakes at times. He's still young, but overall, I think, like, he's getting better, and the more he plays, the better he'll get. Especially if he's playing at centre back, which is where he should be playing. Even though I thought he was good for England at left back, during the international break. So, yeah, that's a good shout. What about you? Who are you surprised by, Red?
Surprised by, not exactly in a positive way, as I really thought that Palmer would have ran the show today, but to me it looks like he wasn't his same self. It seemed to be like he was marked by two players at a time, so that probably could be why. But yeah, the person that really surprised me is Vega, because I knew when we signed him he can play in multiple positions. He's like a Swiss Army knife, like we said in previous streams. But yeah, he's impressed me at fullback, but I didn't really think he could do that much of a job in the middle in the Prem. And yeah, he's proved me wrong there today. I feel like there was a lot of times where he really eased the pressure off.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Yeah, I mean, he played a whole season, I think, as a DM for his previous club. He can definitely.
Was it Basel?
Basel, that's it. Basel. I didn't want to say it if I didn't know it. So, yes. And so he's definitely played that position a lot. So I wasn't surprised, like, that he did well there, but I was surprised that we used him there, because we haven't used him there yet. He's played mostly at left back and inverting, but today he was a full-on defensive midfield player. And he did really well, you know. Did we get the reasons why Enzo Fernandez wasn't in the squad?
It said that there was a few different tweets, not official sources, but said he was ill, apparently.
Right. Okay, I wanted to clear that. I wouldn't get a chance.
Yeah,
to
and Enzo and Dewsbury Hall were both ill, apparently.
Right. Okay. Well, hopefully they won't be ill for Tuesday. Oh, is it Tuesday, the next game? Against Barrow.
Which is gonna I think fun. It's a week, isn't it, next week?
Isn't that? Oh, right, okay, I thought it was this week. Oh, okay, I thought. The Barrow game was this week.
I thought it was Europe this week, I'll be honest. I'll check. I do apologise for this.
Let's check the fixtures.
Tuesday the 24th is Barrow.
Oh, right. Okay.
So we've still got a little bit of time.
Oh, yeah, we haven't got a game till next Saturday. Wow.
Oh, it's the early kickoff as well. Oh,
yeah, and it's West Ham away. That'd be fun.
Oh, I hate the early kickoffs.
Oh. Yeah, 12:30 Saturday. Yeah, so actually, yeah, we're fine. Yeah, we've got a whole week without a game. That's probably a good thing. Get some players some rest, you know, because I think Cole Palmer probably needs a bit of rest. Cole Palmer's an interesting one because, like, he's going to be the targeted man this season. You know, like last season, he was new, right? So people weren't ready for him to a certain extent. Now, everyone knows who he is. They're going to be planning to nullify him, right? They're going to be trying to stop him. So the key to that is having other attackers who have quality, who you leave space for, like Jadon Sancho, right? And Nani Madueke and people like that. And he may get more assists this season than goals. I don't know. I don't think he's going to get as many goals as last season. I still think he'll get goals, but probably won't be quite as many as last year. He's just got to learn to adapt to being a marked man. And that's part of his development as a player. We've got to have patience with him. We know how good he is. We know he's already got 4 assists this season. And a goal, like, it's not like he's got starting the season badly, but,
I think the good thing now is we won't be as dependent upon him because we've got so much strength and depth in the attacking areas. So we've got the likes of Nkunku, Felix, Neto, Sancho, who can all come on and change a game if they're not starting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, if one's not playing well, there's plenty of competition. You know, and Sancho showed that today. He's like, you've got to fight for your place at Chelsea. And he showed today that he wants that place. So I reckon he'll start against West Ham. I think that'll be one change that's made for that game. Be interesting to see what other changes are made for that game. But hopefully we'll have one of the right backs will be back for that game. Lavia should be back for that, which would be a good thing. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, like, also, it's nice to keep a clean sheet, isn't it? It's really good to keep a clean sheet. I don't know when... Someone's going to figure out when our last clean sheet was.
It's 17 away games.
17 away games without a clean sheet. Wow. That's...
But I will say the most comical part of the night, I think you have to say, is... when the commentary team said, we're one away from the yellow card mark, and then Joe Felix just took the man down.
Yeah, and didn't get a yellow. It was Anthony Taylor was so card hungry tonight, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was trying to Chelsea. He was trying to get some Chelsea players off. You know, let's be honest about it. I'm not surprised there was a record number of yellow cards, because it was Anthony Taylor, and it was Chelsea. So, you know, what else is going to happen? You know, I mean, yeah. Yeah, but we got through it. We won another game with Anthony Taylor, you know. So we're actually winning a lot of games with Anthony Taylor. We're not losing anyway. Like, you know, we've only lost one of the last 3 games that he's refereed, to be fair. We won 2 of them. And 2 of them against Bournemouth, actually. Like, he refereed the Bournemouth game at the end of the season, didn't he? And then, didn't he? I think it was the Bournemouth game.
Yeah, I believe so.
And then now he's refereed this Bournemouth game and we've won both of them. So it's not bad, is it? He refereed against Manchester City and we lost that. We would have lost that with any referee, though, to be honest. So that's for Manchester City. They're just going out of sight. They've won 4 in a row. Haaland's on 9 goals in 4 games, which is ridiculous. Like, I just can't even... He's currently on course to get about 80 Premier League goals this season at his current rate.
I know, so, he's just breaking every record going.
Yeah, so we won't talk about that. But
I think one thing I was really impressed with, I think it was what Enzo said last night, that the conversations he had with Felix and Sancho before they came to the club, about basically, you know, you're coming here to work hard. If you don't work hard, you know, don't bother coming. And he's just setting a stall out right from the start.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I really like that. He keeps impressing me with these comments, like, which come out of nowhere. Because I didn't know much about Enzo Maresca before he came to Chelsea. Obviously, I'd seen him at Leicester and I knew he was at City. But in terms of a personality, I didn't know much about him. But it seems like he's quite ruthless. And he makes high demands of his players. You know, he's not afraid to drop players. He's not afraid to call out players for bad performance. And he's like got standards. I hate using that word, but he's got standards. You know, it's like, you know, I love that because he said, like, it's basically like, well, you're not just coming here to play. You're only going to play if you work hard in training and if you perform in training. And then if you don't, you're not going to play. And they joined on that basis. And that's it looks like it's had a positive impact. Certainly.
I was speaking to a Leicester friend before the game and he was telling me Enzo Maresca is real perfectionist. He demands perfection.
That's good. Well, I like that as well. You know, he does. I think he's a winner. I think he has those standards. He's not just like, oh, I want to play fancy football. It doesn't matter about the result. He's not about that, I don't think. I think he's a perfectionist in terms of how you play and performance level. And he wants his players to run. He wants his players to work. He wants his players to show commitment. And that's a positive thing. That's a positive thing for a manager to have.
On the lines of that, though, just the lines of his tactics, something I really was impressed with today, which a few of the performances I'd say were a bit lackluster with, is our actual pressing, regardless of what position the players were playing. It seems like we're fighting for the ball. And granted, there was a few times we got caught on the break, but I quite like the fact that we are taking risks.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. 100%. I agree with that. You've got to take risks sometimes, you know, to win. Absolutely. Like the pressing thing is really, really important for a Maresca ball. We do have to improve that. We still have to improve our playing out from the back, I think. I think there's a lot of improvement. I mean, a lot of our goals conceded this season come from that. So unfortunately, we almost conceded a goal today that way by giving away a silly penalty, but I do like see improvements and I do see that we're going to we were able to get a win when we're not playing well. We didn't play our best game. And, you know, I keep talking about character and that's an important thing. You know, like teams that win Premier League titles are able to win when they're not playing well, right? When they don't have a good game. And when they could have lost, right? And that's what we did today. You know, I'm not saying we're going to win the Premier League, but I'm saying that to be a successful team, you need to have a bit of character about you to deal with all the pressure of a team playing better than you and then come through and get a win. And we did that today. So that's the positive from today. I don't think we'll play this badly every week. I just don't think that at all. First game after the international break is always a difficult one. It's always a difficult one, especially when you're away from home. And we found that a lot. And today we navigated that and got the result. So the goalkeeper did his job and we were clinical. We only had three shots on target and we took one of them. So, that's clinical. But absolutely. And what do people think of Caicedo today?
Well, I thought he had a good game. I mean, it was always going to be difficult for him playing alongside Vega, who's making his first league start, and especially playing in midfield when all the other games he's been playing left back. So, yeah, I think he had a positive game, Caicedo. What did you make of him?
Yeah, I thought he had a good game as well. I thought he was really good today. I'm a fan of Caicedo generally. I think he overpaid for him, but that's not his fault. He's not a £100 million player, but he was a 60, £70 million player. I was pleased with him today. Yeah, I think he's got a lot of criticism. I think he's slowly adapted to Chelsea and he's got better over time. And today had a proper defensive midfielder next to him as well, honestly, because Vega is a proper defensive midfield player. That may be one of the reasons we kept a clean sheet as well, actually, as well as Robert Sanchez. And I think he benefited from that and had a good game as a result.
We seem to have the same conversation about him, though, and I feel like it's quite a good thing that that's the only downside, the fact that it is his price tag, because, yeah, like you said, he can't really do much about that.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so even Bournemouth managers complaining about Anthony Taylor. He said, "I will not talk about the referee."
But that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, and they lost. They, You know, like, and we had enough reason to complain about him. I've got some stats from Moises Caicedo as well. Speaking of him, 82 touches, 85% pass accuracy, 2 out of 4 long balls completed, 7 out of 9 ground duels won, 2 clearances, 2 interceptions, and 4 tackles. So that's a good game for me. The stats are always useful to have because it always tells you a bit more about the game. We've got some comments from Jaden Sancho as well. First of all, it's great, amazing to make my debut for Chelsea. Just being back playing, I'm very grateful. The team played well, and we are happy with the 3 points. I've been working hard for this moment, and I'm just happy that I got my chance. I'm happy to make my debut for Chelsea. Yeah, I always felt like he really wanted to be here, Jaden Sancho. I think he really pushed to come to Chelsea over other clubs.
And according to what Fab said yesterday, I think Dortmund had approached Manchester United in the last few days of the window, and there was talk of a swap deal.
Yeah.
But I don't mean the financials quite added up, and also Jaden Sancho wanted to come to Chelsea. So I really like the fact that he could have gone elsewhere, but he really wanted to come to us.
Yeah, I think Jaden Sancho and Chelsea is a move that I felt was always kind of destined in some way. He's a Chelsea fan. He's from London. I think we almost signed him, 2020. Lampard wanted him, and then he ended up going to Manchester United after that. I never felt Man United was the right club for him. I never felt that for some reason. I just it didn't seem a fit, and it wasn't. Some clubs just don't suit certain players, you know, and that's. And that's football. But I think Chelsea is a really good fit for him. And judging by today, I think that could be true. Like, Endo Maresco actually said about Jaden Sancho, he did exactly what we expected from him. And Tosin was the same, and Christopher Nkunku too. Felix was very good. All the guys from the bench were very good. We were creating chances, and we just needed that bit more quality from inside the box, and Sancho did that. Nkunku is not starting, but he is working very well. That's what Maresco said. And that's a good point, actually. Tosin, how do people think Tosin did today from the bench?
I've always thought he's solid today.
But, I definitely think that he did the job. He did exactly what was expected of him. And I quite liked it when it almost seemed like the father was pushed out wide, because I feel a lot more confident when Tosin comes on. He's got fresh legs. He seems to just calm the game down a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he's an slightly more experienced player as well. I mean, what is he, 26, 27 as well? And he's got leadership qualities. I think that's probably why he brought him on. You know, he's quite an intimidating presence as well. He's quite big, adds a bit of height at the back. So, yeah, I thought that too. I thought he was a bit of a calming influence. I like that signing. I was a fan of that signing. And I'm surprised he hasn't played as much in the Premier League yet, but he definitely was good today. And what were you going to say, Rambles, about Tosin?
Yeah, I thought he was really solid when he came on today. And I think, given that he's a free transfer, he will prove to be a very shrewd piece of business.
Yeah, I mean, either way, if it works out, you know, we get a good player for free. If it doesn't, we can easily make a profit, right? Ultimately, And he was good. Yeah, he was good today. All the things, Maresco is right. All the subs that came on generally did a pretty good job. Kind of made the game better. We were a better team when they came on, for sure. So, yeah, sometimes you just got to grind it out. When Chelsea were in our dominant period, there were a lot of games where we didn't play well and we just ground out 1-0 and just, you know, and then you get the 3 points. And at the end of the day, no one remembers how you played. You know, he just remember the 3 points. Chelsea are now up to 7th, by the way, in the Premier League with 7 points. 2 wins, a draw and a loss in 4 games. That's better than last season, by the way. It's a better start than last season. So that's good. We're above Manchester United, which is nice. By 1 point.
That's always nice to be above them.
Absolutely. Well, just a little comment on Bournemouth, actually. How do you think Bournemouth played, Red?
They really impressed me, but I've been trying to keep a tight eye on them all season because I don't think they get the actual flowers they deserve for the performances they've been putting in, and they've been unlucky on a few occasions. And I just feel like even before when O'Neill was in charge, Iriola is just the way that he's brought in his system. He's actually getting the players he wants as well. Maybe the game would have been different if Kepa was playing. Granted, the high chance it wouldn't have been, but I would definitely say that their attacking chances, they like getting the extra man out wide. And if it wasn't for a few last-ditch challenges, we could have been caught for two, maybe even three today.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like how I like the manager. I think he's a really good manager. I watched the Everton game like all the way through. they were really good. They were outplayed for a lot of that game, but then they got three goals in, you know, what is it, 6 minutes or something like that? You know, great character. And they scored some really good goals. I think they're a good team. I think, like, obviously they've suffered a bit from losing Solanke, like his attacking threat. You know, I think like he's a proven Premier League goal scorer. But, you know, I think they're a good team who will do fine in the Premier League. And will win a lot of games. They deserve to win today, probably, you could argue, on chances. But they didn't. They lost. They'll be very gutted. I've seen their manager's comments. He's not happy. But
I didn't even think the penalty was their worst miss. There was a few chances where it went wide of the post. And especially there, the one where it went back out to him on the edge of the area. I was like, this has got to go in at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. So we're going to bring a couple of people up. We've got some people requesting, so I'm going to bring Vince up, who speaks regularly in these meetings. So Vince is here. Vince is up. Vince, what were your thoughts on the game?
If I'm being completely honest, I thought it was, you know, not the best performance. I thought we were outplayed in the first half. Tavernier, you know, struck the post, and you know, Sanchez with the, you know, the big penalty save. So it easily could have been, you know, 2-0 or so at halftime. But as you said, you know, just showing that heart and determination to not go down and stay at 0-0 and then get the late winner, I thought was a big improvement upon what we saw last season. I also thought that, you know, Wesley Fofana, I don't think has been talked about yet. I thought he was maybe the best player on the pitch other than Sanchez and Sancho. I thought he was pretty much everywhere defensively. He wasn't at fault for the penalty that was given away. That was Cole Wills' back pass. I just thought Fofana overall had a great game. And, you know, I don't know why he got booked. That was absolutely ridiculous. He barely touched the guy, he was just fighting for position on the header. I have no idea why he got booked, but I thought Fofana was great today. I thought De Sassi was he's a center back. We saw clearly today the guy's just not a right back. And I thought, you know, he put us under pressure a bunch of times and we'll be a lot better with Gusto or Reece James healthy back in the squad. And overall, just, you know, happy to get the 3 points. But if I'm being completely honest, you know, I expected a better performance. I expected, you know, what did we have? 3 shots on goal to their 7, including their 2, you know, shots that struck the post. So really like 9 shots on goal to our 3 or 4. You know, we probably did not deserve to win this game, but at the end of the day, we got 3 points. So I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Wesley Fowler's getting cooked on Twitter for this, for the penalty. He's getting blamed for the penalty, but I've got some stats for Wesley Fowler. Registered more successful passes and more clearances than any other player for Bournemouth or Chelsea. 100% on his successful long balls, take-ons and aerial duel battles. Like, so he actually had a good game.
I think we do need to take into account how long he has been out for, and he is still finding his feet. So it was always going to take a little bit of time for him to kind of get up to speed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people forget that.
And I just thought that, for the most part, I just thought like he was that last line of defense, like over time and time again. It was like Fofana's there. And obviously I think every game, by the way, Cucurella is just like, he's become the most consistent player in the squad now. Like this, I don't know where this was last year, but he's literally become the most consistent player where you can bank on a 7 out of 10 every game.
He's becoming like the Aspilicueta of left backs, right? Like no one, like I don't see anyone complain about him now. Like no one ever complains about him anymore. Like he never gets, the fact that he never gets mentioned on the timeline is like a very, very telling thing, right? He just turns up, does his 7 out of 10, and that's it. Like, and that's what you need. You need those players, right? We need that. We need players that to show you don't have to worry about. You know they're going to give a 7 out of 10. He does that now. You know, he's, yeah, which is what Aspilicueta used to do all the time. So if he's doing that, I'm okay with that. I mean, I fully admit I was completely wrong about Cucurella. I wrote him off completely, like a lot of play people did, actually, to be fair. But this year, this calendar year, he's been excellent. You know, he really has. He's earned his place in the team. He's kept his place in the team. He was the best left back at the Euros. You know, and he was, like, a year ago, he was completely out of the picture, right? And, you know, so to come back from that, from where he was, and then to come into the team and do so well, and become like that, a 7 out of 10 player, that's a huge credit to him. And he deserves a lot of praise for that, I think.
And I think not only defensively today, like, we saw him interchanging with Sancho, up the left-hand side, whipping in crosses, like, making darting runs into the box. And also, I think he's, like, he's always working the ref. From the first minute of the pitch, he's working the ref. He's in the ref's ear. He's, you know, he's pissing off the opposition players. He's just being cheeky, basically, from the first minute. And I think you need some of that. You need that edge in your side. You need that bit of, you know, David Luiz energy, where you're just being a menace out there. You're being a goon, but at the same time, it's effective in, you know, just getting in the opponent's heads. And I think he's done that consistently.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a fan of his now. he's fully converted me.
He's really growing into the Chelsea shirt, isn't he? Game by game, he's just getting better and better and better.
I'm absolutely 100%. Yeah.
I will say that I was always a fan of him. I just feel like I used to like this, the little things he used to do just to try and trigger people again, but now he's taking it to a complete new level.
Yeah.
I think he did get more stick early on because he came from Brighton and because he came for a large fee, which again wasn't his fault.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there was a lot of pressure when he came in, you know, and Chelsea were a bit of a chaos club that season, you know, and then obviously perhaps Tierney favoured Ben Chilwell and didn't really trust him. And then he came off. I mean, it all started when he came off, when he played inverted against Aston Villa in the second half of the 2-2 draw last season. And then for the rest of the season, he did that. And he was excellent. He was one of our best players in the last six games when we were unbeaten, when we won five in a row, right? So, and he started off this season well, like I said, after the Euros, where he was excellent, best left back at the tournament, you know, and he's shutting up a lot of people up, including me. And I love it. I actually love being proven wrong about players because it means they're doing well. So he's proved me wrong, and I'm happy that he's proved me wrong, you know, and fair play to him. You know, we paid, what, 62 million for him. He's, you know, it'll be a long time till that's kind of become justified, but he's making progress towards that for sure. You know, I mean, he's our first choice left back currently. So, and he looks like he will be for a while. So, fair play to the guy, you know, and a lot of people say his overall performance is improving as well. So, yeah, like, definitely agree with all of that. Yeah. Well, thanks, Vince. We've got some other people ready to come up as well. We haven't actually, sorry. Whoops. So how do people think Enzo Maresca did today tactically and with his substitution? Red, I'll start with you.
I definitely would say that the second half substitutions, it impressed me because on paper, I think to a lot of people, like third parties watching Chelsea, they'd be saying what's happening, who's playing in what position, for the likes of Cucurella, obviously doing the shadow striker role. You've got João Félix, who seems to play everywhere when he came on the pitch. And Nkunku definitely was going in behind. And yeah, I kind of got a bit of a tangent there, but essentially I just quite like the way that he's almost given players a new meaning, a new role where, yes, if you don't work out up front or you don't work out on the left wing, you still have an opportunity to prove yourself on the right. And I quite like that.
Yeah. I mean, he is impressing me with his subs, definitely. What about you, Ramos? What did you think of his tactical performance?
Yeah, I was really impressed with the substitutions. And I think his subs won the game. And I think especially, you know, the last few years, we've been very critical at times of the managers leaving it too late. Whereas it wasn't working half-time. And he was very quick to bring Sancho on and take Neto off. So he doesn't mess around.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I've been really impressed with him, in terms of his mentality, his personality. He's not a nice guy, you know. I think he understands what it means to be a Chelsea manager, because he often says all the things in a press conference that I would want a Chelsea manager to say, right? And you know, I remember this week he threatened to walk out if they asked him about the ownership. I think, which I thought was brilliant.
I think I remember several times last year, we got to like the 70, 75th minute and Pochettino had not made any changes and us all getting really frustrated. But now Enzo's just not like that at all. Now he's unhappy. He'll make a couple of changes at half-time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's shown that in multiple games, hasn't he? Like he made against Wolves, he made a change at half-time. And today he made a change at half-time and both those changes actually changed the game, you know? I mean, Neto got an assist against Wolves, and Sancho got an assist today. So, like, yeah, he's not afraid to make changes, which I think is important. And also, he tends to make the right changes, which is really, really important. His changes seem to pay off. So, I mean, they certainly did today, because two of his subs got work combined for the goal, Sancho and Nkunku. That's another point about Nkunku. Fair play to Nkunku. He's got. He's got three or four goals this season now.
He's getting them goals, and it's quite good to see that even if he's not starting, he's not actually causing a fuss like certain strikers we've had in the past. But
yeah, that's right. I think yeah, and like, I did a bit of research actually. In terms of Premier League minutes, he's played enough minutes to play about 8 or 9 games. And I think he's got about 5 Premier League goals in that time, or 4 or 5 Premier League goals. I can't remember exactly how many, but his goals per game ratio in terms of minutes is actually pretty good. You know, and if not for Cole Palmer, he'd be playing in that 10 role for sure. You know, and I think, yeah, he definitely brings something when he comes on. He's always effective, especially when he plays in that central role. I prefer him to play in that kind of 8-10 role, but he can play further forward. He's a good finisher. I think that's an important quality to have. We have players that are good finishers. You know, Cole Palmer's a good finisher. Kunku's a good finisher. Jackson can score goals. Nonny's got better with goal scoring this season. It's important to have attackers who can score goals. So, I'm a big fan of Nkunku. I hope he plays more because I think he's got a lot to offer the team and goals to offer the team. And, you know, he's more proven than a lot of the other players. He's 27, I think, now. So he's more of an established player. So, and it's a good option to have. You know, say Cole Palmer's not in form or gets injured or needs a rest, then you can bring him on, you know, and he can play. It's a good thing to have. I think Cole Palmer's start of the season has been a bit staggered because he's had some niggles and also, you know, didn't really have a proper pre-season and, you know, tired from the Euros and stuff. So, you know, he'll get back to full sharpness soon enough. I'm not worried about that. But it's good that in the meantime, we've got other players we can depend on for goals and that attacking quality. You know, people had a go at us for so many attackers, but I think it was a good thing because we've got a lot of games to play this season. This is going to be one of our only weeks without a game, to be honest, this coming week, because we're going to have a lot of games midweek with the Conference League and obviously the League Cup coming up as well. So it's good. It'd be good to have a whole week off actually just to get some players fit, get some players sharp, get some players rest from playing as well. I think that'd be a positive thing. So yeah, 100%.
I was just thinking it'd be quite interesting to see what Maresca does next week, because I thought Nkunku looked really good when he came on. And I did read somewhere that Nkunku would be second choice striker. So he could potentially start Nkunku and have Jackson on the bench against West Ham.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're playing, yeah, West Ham is a game, it's quite a physical game, that one. So, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be against Vega playing in midfield in that game, honestly, with Caicedo, but you'll have Lavia and Enzo back potentially then. So,
yeah, West Ham away is always a tough game, especially a lunchtime kickoff.
Yeah, that's right. It's always a difficult game. I never like playing there. You know, it doesn't matter how good we are. We always struggle there. It's always a tough game for us because it's their game of the season. They're always up for it, you know, and their fans are always up for it because they hate us. London rival, you know, somehow they've got some this beef with us that, you know, I don't know, that they've had for ages, even though we've always been better than them for about 20 years. Or 30 years or something, like we've been better than them. They somehow act like they're this big club. But yeah, it's going to be a tough game, that. It's always a tough game. But, you know, I pick Sancho definitely for that game. That will help us against West Ham because you need players that can break down low blocks when you're playing West Ham. And he's a player that can do that. So, yeah. And if he can play like he did today, then we'll have a good chance, you know. And you know, we've got so much attacking quality. It's difficult to pick your best 11 in a way. Like, I mean, what I would be picking our four as being Nonny, Palmer, Sancho, and Jackson at the moment. But Nkunku's got a good case to be starting as well, you know. And that's what you want to have. And you've got Pedro Neto as well. He's a good player. You know, you've got a lot of competition, which is what you want as a top side because it means that everyone knows that they've got to play well when they get a chance, or otherwise they'll be dropped. And so that pushes the quality up, in theory. Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think of, like, who else? What do people think of Levi Colwill today?
I was really impressed with Colwill, and I really like his mentality. Like, the more I see him, the more he screams out that he's a potential leader. You know, I love the reaction he made when he made one of his tackles.
Yeah, I'm a massive fan of Levi Colwill. He was captain today, wasn't he? Am I right in saying that?
I know, Caicedo was captain.
Oh, was he? Yeah. Since someone mentioned him being captain, I wasn't paying enough attention to know he was captain. Because it changes quite often now, doesn't it? You know, so it's difficult to keep up. But but he showed leadership qualities today. I thought he was, he's like we said earlier, he's growing into the team, you know, every week. He's gaining authority, at the back. Yeah. And he's a starter right now. I mean, what are your thoughts on him, Red?
To me, he's our best defender. I feel like he deserves a start every week. There was a few little wobbles today, but the one thing that, really is him in a nutshell is that block. It was late in the game when we were defending. I thought it was going to be a block out for a corner, but he stood his ground, stood strong, and went out for a throw in the end. I just love how he's dominating. He's got obviously a really strong build at the back, but the one thing that really stands out to me the most is just his leadership skills. I feel like he's very vocal, he's very passionate, and yeah, I don't know if you guys think any differently, but that he's exactly what we need at the back of the minute.
Sorry, who? Is exactly
Colwill.
Oh, yeah. 100%. yeah, I mean, yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
I think Cobham as well, you know, and that's... Somebody posted a tweet saying Levi Colwill versus Bournemouth and put a photo of John Terry. It just does it all, really, you know. I mean, yeah, he's the next, you know, top centre back coming through the academy. Today he registered more successful passes into the final third, more blocks, and won more aerial duels than any other player for either Bournemouth or Chelsea. I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? Like, I think he's going to end up as our captain.
I can see it as well.
Because Reece James, his injuries are just a joke at this point.
I've got a tough question to ask you guys.
Oh, I know what's coming here. Yeah, go on.
About Reece James. I mean, we all love Reece James and we all know how good he is, but how long can we keep going on with these injuries? Because if we're being honest, can we, as much as we we love him, and he's Chelsea through and through, came through the academy. Can we rely upon him? Because someone said before, can you ever see Reece James playing 10 games in a row?
Yeah, I think he hasn't done that for a long time, has he?
No.
And like, we all know how good he can be. That's the problem. Like, that's the dilemma, isn't it? Because you don't want to sell him, and then he goes to another club and stays fit, and it's really good for them because we look like idiots. But like, my view on it at the moment is like a Ledley King kind of situation. I don't know if people remember Ledley King, but he was a player that was perennially injured for Spurs.
And he never used to train, did he? He just used to train on a Friday.
Yeah, and he had like a kind of special contract because he was injured so much. But he would play certain games, and he'd be really good in those games. But then but they accepted that he wouldn't be a regular, but that he'd be available for games that they needed him. That was his whole career, really. He was quite loved at Spurs. You know, he was from their academy as well. I know Mourinho really liked Ledley King. If he hadn't had his injuries, he might have tried to sign him. But I think it's like that. And we've got Akeem Pong as well, who can play right back. I think there's a proper right back, I think, to play there.
You might be aware.
And we've got Gusto as well. So I think, like, if you can have those three, and not to mention the fact that Reece James can play in midfield, which people still don't realise. Like, he's really good in midfield, I think. And it will require less of him than running up and down the right, you know, where he's having to put a lot of stress on himself. I think, like, if he can remake himself as like a deeper midfielder, that, you know, kind of almost like a playmaker who kind of just sits and controls the game and wins tackles, whatever, I think he could do that, and I think he'd be brilliant at it personally. So I would keep him at the moment, but it is a conversation that people need to have, I suppose, because his contract's got only 2 years at the end of this season, and that's the time when they decide whether to extend or sell. So this is an important season, actually. And I don't think Chelsea would want to sell him, ideally.
No.
But it's that time. You know, the more time he's out, the more questions it raises, you know. And I don't want to lose him. I've got quite a strong attachment to him. I think he's excellent. I watched him all the way through from the academy, and I know how much he loves Chelsea, and we all do. So I really want him to get over these injury things and to start playing regularly, because he's such a good player, and he improves us when he's fit, 100%.
Scores, I was going to say, speaking of Ledley King, did he know he came through the same youth team as John Terry? But
yeah,
both played at Senrab together.
Yeah, that's right. Senrab, that's it. Yeah,
Senrab, that was it.
Yeah, they both played. Yeah, they both came from there, didn't they? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I've seen. I've heard enough about John Terry to know that. Yeah, a lot of good players came from that team, actually, didn't they? I can't remember the whole list of players that came from Senrab, but yeah,
I think Jermaine Defoe may have been there as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there's a few London players, like London Academy players from that era. Definitely came from that. We can always find that out at some point. But yeah, 100%. So that's why I think what he can be for Chelsea. Because if his injury wise continue, he's not going to be able to be first choice for anyone. And who's going to buy him? Honestly, I mean, who's going to spend a lot of money on him when he's missed most of the last few seasons with injury? You know, if I'm honest, like, I mean, we all know how good he is, but he's not, like, his availability is not so good. So, but I would keep him on balance because I don't think we gain much by selling him. We're not paying amortization on him. He's an academy player. The only cost we have to him is his salary. So I'd happily keep him, and then have Akeem Pong and Gusto as well. So you've got depth at right back, right? And I think a team pong, it's beyond time. He deserves a start in the Premier League as well, personally. I don't know what people think about that. What do you think about that, Red?
I'm not going to lie. I completely agree with everything you said. I don't really think I can add anything to that. But no, the one thing I will say, just going back just about Reece James, is I don't know. I think it's a sticky one. I think he's one of those players that regardless of his situation, you have to keep him around the club. But yeah, I fully agree. I don't think you're going to see a Reece James where he plays 5, 6, 7 games on the bounce anymore.
Yeah, that's right. You just have to accept that. And like, you know, I mean, like we play 2 games a week, so he can play one of those at most, right? And if we've got three players who can play right back, then we'll be all right, you know. But what you want is to have him fit for the big games, right? So when we play Manchester City, you want to have him fit and in form, right? But he's your best right back when he's fit. When he's fit and in form, he's still, I think, the best right back in the world when he's fit. But he's not fit enough, you know, and that's the problem. So yeah, but you've got to protect him as well because you can't overplay him. It's quite clear you can't overplay him. So sometimes you need to just rest him. And to be fair to Maresca, he's been pretty good at resting players who are kind of in the red zone and leaving players out to protect them and stuff. He's been pretty good at that so far. Even in training, some players like Pedro Neto, I know, missed a couple of training sessions just because they were worried about overwork, you know, and that's a really positive thing because you don't want to overwork these players. And overwork is one of the reasons we had so many injuries. And Pochettino would play players in the red zone. And that's what he did with Lavia, and he missed the rest of the season. So it's a positive thing to have a manager who actually prioritises player welfare. And it means that Reece James won't be rushed back, which is positive. But we do need Gusto back next week, if possible, you know, because we can't go on with Di Zarzi at right back, I don't think. Like, he's not a natural right back, and we need him back. So hopefully he'll be back next week. So that's the game. You know, Chelsea won, Bournemouth 0, up to 7th in the Premier League. And Christopher Nkunku goal from a Sancho assist. And Rambles, just some final thoughts on the game.
Yeah, I think it huge bonus to keep a clean sheet, and that was our first clean sheet. Was it in 17, 18 games?
Away
games, yeah.
Away games, yes, that's right. Yeah,
it's our first. Yeah, it's such a nice feeling to keep a clean sheet because it just feels that every game we can see goals, and it's always nice to win a game when you're nowhere near your best. Because it is, I think that always says a lot about your mentality.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. It's our first game without away with a clean sheet in 2024.
That's incredible.
So that's pretty. Yeah, when you think it's middle of September. Yeah. That's incredible. Actually, that's pretty incredible. Red, what are your final thoughts on the game?
Sorry about that, my mic glitched then. But yeah, I'd just say that it's not exactly a performance I'm going to look back on. I'd say in a few weeks' time, we'll hopefully just forget it happened. But it's one that we got out of the way. It's 3 points that we needed to get before we even went into the fixture. And I'm happy with it because by the looks of things, for the first time in a while, we've left a game without any injury worries. And that is the key takeaway I'm going to get from this.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. It's a positive. To not have any injury worries going out of a game when we've won. We can actually, so often we've won games and then it's like, oh, there's an injury worry. Oh, there's an injury worry. Yeah. Today we won, clean sheet and no injuries. So that's positive. Thanks everyone for contributing today. It's been really good as ever. And it's always nice to win and get a clean sheet and to be positive discussing Chelsea. So that's fantastic. Thanks everyone for listening. Remember to keep checking out the Chelsea Echo and for tons of content. There's going to be other post-match content, you'll find all our podcasts there. Keep following us and obviously we'll be back next week for the West Ham game, lunchtime kickoff, which will be fun. Join us next week for that, and we'll see you all next week, and up the Chelsea.